Sacktown Sports.
Good evening, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. Ja Morant has been suspended by the NBA for 25 games. That was announced today to begin the 2024 season. And it's time for your U.S. Open leaderboard, which is brought to you by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's always about choices and always about quality. So Ricky Fowler is sitting at 10 under right now. He bogeyed that hole on 10. He's one shot ahead of the leader, or he is the leader by one shot, behind Wyndham Clark, who is sitting at 9 under and in the clubhouse. Xander Schauffele is at 9 under and still on the course. Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy is sitting at 8 under in fourth place. Those are your headlines. Now it's time to return to Whitey Gleason and Jay Johnson for one more hour here on Cattles and Rami.
Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami.
Top spot.
Ja Morant suspended for 25 games by the NBA. It's Whitey and JJ in for Cattles and Rami today. That without question, JJ, the big story of the day. The commissioner had said, when we get through the finals, we'll be having an announcement. He waited till the parade was over, and then came the word that Ja Morant, who was suspended from team activities on May 14th by the Grizzlies, he is going to be suspended 25 games for the start of the season. Ja Morant's decision to once again wield a firearm on social media, alarming and disconcerting given his similar conduct in March, for which he was already suspended 8 games, said Commissioner Adam Silver. What do you think of a 25-game penalty for Ja?
In the beginning, I thought it was a little too low. Then I thought about it and saw some things come out from some of the NBA insiders. In the 25-game, you know, suspension kind of makes sense. And it, for me, it makes sense because it affects his pocket, Whitey. You have to play more than 65 or more games to make an All-NBA team. You got to, you know, and get your Supermax, and 25 games doesn't allow Ja Morant to make that, mm-hmm. right? And so that affects a man right where it hurts, the heart or the pocket.
Yep.
And it's probably both, but the pocket is connected to the heart and the mind. And so I think it's kind of – I thought it would be more.
I did too.
I truly did.
I thought it would be half a season.
Yes, I did too. I'm with you. But 25 seems to be spot on from everything and from everything we're hearing. And, you know, truth be told, it doesn't sound like Adam Silver is a guy that likes to really, you know, stick it to people.
He's kind of
a player's commissioner.
Yeah, he tries to tries to avoid those conflicts.
Yes,
huh?
Seems like it.
Commissioner Stern was like,
oh, man,
looking for
welcome
you.
It. John, matter of fact, if Mr. Stern was still here, he and part of the situation, he would have probably chopped Jai for 70 games at this point.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Stern not playing.
Well, speaking of that,
he was Stern.
Let's look at how Ja's 25-game suspension compares to some past NBA suspensions. And some of these were handed down by Commissioner Stern. Remember O.J. Mayo got popped for
– O.J. Mayo.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
Point in time.
And I think it was multiple – was it multiple – performance enhancing substance abuse, 164 games.
Yeah, he was done.
Ron Artest, Malice in the Palace. Ooh. Got, do you remember how many games?
80, 70?
86.
Yeah, something. Okay.
Yeah, Latrell Sprewell for choking his coach.
30?
68.
Really? Got
yeah.
That? I don't remember.
Gilbert,
wow.
Gilbert Arenas brandishing a gun.
Oh, I
yeah,
know this
yeah.
one.
Yeah. 50.
Okay.
He got the 50 piece.
Oh, that's right. He just said it, and he was like, yeah. Man, they basically told him, like, look, you're going to have to take this 50 because of so-and-so. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And
on the podcast, he said that.
Jarvis Crittenden, who was involved in this.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Same situation. 38 games.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson, who was part of the Malice in the Palace, he got
21.
30.
Okay.
Miles Bridges for off-court domestic abuse.
60-something.
He got 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going
he was
down
going the
here.
Whole
not,
season,
yeah,
right?
Not, we're going.
I thought Miles Bridges got clipped for almost the whole season.
Well,
it felt
he didn't
like.
Play this last year because they didn't resign him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he didn't resign, and he was, yeah.
Kermit Washington.
Oh, man, that's before my time there, brother.
Yeah, you know what he did with the punch
yes.
to Rudy Tomjanovich?
Yes.
He got 26 games.
See?
And, yeah. And Jermaine O'Neal, who during the Malice in the Palace,
11.
He punched a fan who came out on the court.
18.
Commissioner Stern gave him 25, which they then reduced to 15.
That's right. Okay.
So 25 for Ja in that context.
Javaris Crittenden.
Yeah. The thing is,
that fella's getting out of jail soon.
Again, all those things like, yeah, you could see where somebody did something wrong. And with Ja, it's a little unclear what exactly he did wrong other than did something that, A, looked really bad, B, may have been part of some other things that no one really wants to tell us about, and C, was on top of after the league told him, don't do that anymore, and then he did it.
So
that's
his
most heinous crime.
And the Players Association have come out straight and said, man, it was over the top. It was too, you know, too stern, too stiff, and they're going to appeal it, of course.
Like everybody else, I don't appreciate what Ja's been doing, why he's acting this way, and I want to see him straighten this out so we get to see him play more. But I think, push come to shove, I'm with the Players Association on that when you look at what he actually did.
Sure. Where do you think now that you've had time and opportunity to soak it in for the whole day, where do you think it should have landed? If at all.
I still, despite what I just said, if I were the commissioner of the NBA, which I still, you know, someday, who knows? I mean, having given
got
up that
goals
dream,
and aspirations,
yeah,
brother?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I would have gone about 40, and I would have said 40 games, and then we'll review the situation at that point. I wouldn't have said 40 games, then you're back. I would have said 40 games because of the way he basically lied to the commissioner, and he gave that speech and sat down with Jalen Rose. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And then clearly, wow, you were playing me. You can't do that.
So you still think it should have been higher, even though there's no case for an actual mess up.
Yes.
Like he didn't really mess up for it.
Right.
He didn't do anything that's crime punishable.
Right. The crime, if you will, was playing me when I bent over backwards. If I'm Silver, I bent over backwards to like, all right, let's 8 games. All right, slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. We'll forget all the other stuff. And then he's like, okay. And then he threw that back in my face.
So it's because he lied.
Yeah.
His crime is he lied.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He lied and he did take me seriously and he made me and the league look foolish and therefore he made me look toothless and I can't tolerate that because then if I let that go, I don't have any power anymore.
And you still say it should have been half a season, even though there was no crime to fit the punishment.
So did you,
that's
right?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Whitey.
Yeah. I know I'm having a little bit of fun here, but there's what I would have done.
Okay.
There's what I would do if I were him and the Players Association, and there's the way I think the commissioner should have handled
it. Yeah, 20. When I really sit back and look at it, I think 25 fits the bill. It's going to be interesting to see if the Players Association, when they appeal it, push back to try to appeal it back so many games, mm-hmm. so Ja can hit that 65 game mark.
Right, so that he's eligible for
awards, all NBA teams, the Supermax. That's what it really comes down
Supermax.
To. Is he wants to be available? I mean, able to exercise that Supermax mm-hmm. option after next year.
How did you think, what did you think, I should say, of the way the commissioner handled it, talking about it during the finals, indicating something was coming, but not doing anything about it until after the parade? Should he have just kept his mouth shut the whole time?
No, what I believe is, and I know his reasoning for, he said they had a conversation with the Players Association and, of course, all the big wigs, the upper quartile of guys in the NBA, that they didn't want to announce anything and take away anything from the playoffs, all the sizzle,
yep.
and from the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat run. You know what I say, Whitey, is this. You ever got in trouble?
Yeah.
And your mom or your father or your parental advisor, whoever that is, your guardian, comes and says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll deal with you a little later. And now you, as the culprit, you're like, oh, man, I don't know what that means.
You got that blade hanging
over
your head.
Come on now.
Yeah.
It's the worst. And that's the way I feel for Jai. Man, just hand me my punishment and we could have rolled.
Jai's five-year, $194 million max contract is set to begin this coming season.
Yep.
It could have escalated to a supermax if he had made All-NBA this season, which he did not, costing him about $39 million in future earnings. Endorsement deals with Nike and Powerade, though Powerade – pulled an ad featuring him after the March video, and it currently is not running.
Yeah, Nike said they came out with a statement, said they're going to stand by him. We hope that he learns from his ways, and we're going to support him.
The Grizzlies have fared well without their star. They've had a 33-17 record in the 50 games he's missed over the last 2 years, including a 20-5 mark during the 21-22 regular season. Tied for the best win percentage by a team in NBA history in games played without a player averaging 25 points per game or more.
Baller.
This is it, Ja. Let's see. No more talk. I don't care what you say.
He doesn't get one more shot?
Yeah, well, after this?
Yeah.
This is his one more shot.
Really?
Yeah.
You think after this they suspend him for a year or something?
I think they would have to.
Ooh.
Again.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Don't you?
No.
What would you do next?
I think it's half. Yeah, I think you move up.
Huh. Coming up here, as promised, we'll look at Zach LaVine's potential fit with the Sacramento Kings, how he compares to OG Anunoby, and Bradley Beal's name will probably come up too next. Cattles and Rami, Swati and JJ today, Sackdown Sports.
One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
And for Cattles and Rami today, Kevin Michael, Whitey Gleason, Jay Johnson. Hold on, Jay. Now, you said this is not Ja's last chance if you're
nope.
the commissioner.
I think he gets another opportunity.
So, we're talking about if he does the same thing, brandishing a gun, toy gun, whatever it is, publicly, then your next move would be half a year?
Well, not for me. I just think it's a natural stair step. Like, you can't – if it was that serious, I think you would have chopped him down for half or, you know, three-fourths of the season or something of that nature. To me, it leaves it room like, okay, this is a stern punishment now. Pay attention. Get on your P's and Q's. Get, you know, straighten up. Stay in line. But I also think that there's another level of punishment after this, and I don't think it's like you're gone for the year. I think there's
I don't think they'd have a choice.
Well, I don't know, Whitey, because you just said what's the punishment mm-hmm. if he waves another gun?
Yeah.
What crime has he really broken?
Yeah, that's
depending
a fair
on
point.
What state you're in, you know.
Yes.
And Adam Silver said that. He said that at a Boys and Girls Club, I believe in Denver or Atlanta, one of the two. And he, you know, he said, look, depending on each state, I'm not going to dive into that. But yes, carrying a gun is legal in certain states.
Mm-hmm.
And how see fit, you know, the state patrol or the police or sheriff or any, you know, that state, that's on them. But I'm not going to dive into that. And so I guess the next part of it would be what? You lied to me again?
Well, here's the problem with that. Like you said, it's a little fuzzy there. What exactly did he do wrong? Except that you came to him or you called him to you. You sat down with him, explained everything. He didn't say, I didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, you're right. I won't do it again.
Yeah, true.
If he said, I didn't do anything wrong, that's one thing. But, oh, yeah, I got you. I understand. I'll talk to Jalen Rose and talk about, I'll go into therapy about my anger management. Then you do it again. Then you hit him with 25 games. If it happens again after that, I don't know how you could do anything other than like a year.
That's interesting.
I mean, where else do you go? What else do you do?
I think you set the precedent with 25 games.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's as much as for me, it makes sense because of the, you know, finances that's going to be affected. But I went in saying half a season, like you need to miss half a season. They didn't do that. And the Players Association is saying we don't like it, which probably means it's going to roll back 2, 3, 5 games, you know, whatever.
I'm pretty sure
they're going to fight to pull it down to that 18 games or, you know, excuse me, that 17 games, right? Pull it down to 17 games. But I'm not sure.
Because that would allow them to qualify
for it. Yeah. It allows them to hit the 65 game
I wonder
mark.
If they knew that, too. You know, when they decided what the punishment would be, they had to factor all that in.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
And that
I wonder if they considered a more severe penalty.
It probably was because going into it, 25 games, to me, I'm just looking at it. But once you start to read and go in depth, it's like, oh, that's why. He's going to miss some money. he's going to miss the Supermax. He won't be allowed to make All-NBA. He won't allow, you know, he can't win MVP. He can't. There's certain things he's just not going to be able to. And this is going to be the second season in a row. I'm pretty sure that was calculated within punishment.
And then the other thing, the other factor is, okay, we have to do this for appearances and for the rest of the league and anybody else who may do something that we frown upon. But there's also, why is he doing this? How can we help him so he doesn't do it anymore? That's the part that has me going, I'm worried about this guy because I don't know why you would do things the way he's done them. All right, you do what you do and you want to appear to be a certain way. And then everyone explains, here's why you shouldn't do that. Okay, I got that. Then you do it again. And it's like you're throwing it in the face of the people that you told you wouldn't. I'm not going to do that again. That's what concerns me about him.
Yeah, I understand that.
I don't understand it. Why would you do that if you're him? What do you do about that to help him?
Yeah.
Is he just being defiant or is there something else going on?
Well, I would imagine there's something else going on, unfortunately. I'm not privy to Ja Morant's situation. I don't know Ja Morant at all. We're all guessing, speculating, taking educated guesses, hypothesizing, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to go down the road of, because I've seen certain people say, well, this is part of the culture.
Yeah, I've made sure I didn't venture into that.
Yeah. I've heard people say that. To an extent, I can understand that. But there's also a point in time where you just kind of got to suck it up, Whitey, and you just have to do what you need to do for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't continue to blame everything around you. We're all products of our environment. I'm a true believer of that. If you don't believe that, you're fooling yourself, and that's on you. We are all products of our environment in some form or fashion. We all fit a stereotype in some form or fashion.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. And it's true. We're in Carmichael Dave's environment right now, feels like.
This is Carmichael Dave.
But there's still no excuse. I don't want to keep that door open for Ja to have an excuse. And a lot of people in our country and in our world believe toting and waving a gun is not a big deal. You've even allotted to the fact of, in many ways, he hasn't broken a rule.
But he has acknowledged that, I see why I shouldn't do that, so I won't do that.
So because,
and he does anyway. So that's like, what's going on?
Yeah, but this is the tough part, and I don't want to argue this. The tough part about that is there's the NBA is a private sector, so he has to fit within that sector's rules, laws,
if he wants
to be a part of it. And outside of that, you know, is another level when it comes to our nation's laws and state and county and so many different things you have to adhere by. But what I'm saying is it's tough to say what is really going on with Ja.
Oh, I'm not. That's what I'm worried about. Right. I don't know.
And my thing is this. Ja, it sounds crazy, but what has he technically done for you to be like, well, I'm really worried about this guy?
What he's done is
lie, beside lie.
But the way he's lied, he's cost himself a lot of money. When
truth.
You think someone, a more rational thinking person, would say, okay, I see why I shouldn't do that.
But see what
it doesn't benefit me.
But what I'm playing
self-destructive behavior, which is what concerns me.
But to some people, it's not, Whitey, and that's the difficult part about it. Is if that's the case, then we wouldn't be leaning on old laws that were written 300 years ago. So,
but he knew that he would be punished more severely. He knew that.
True.
He was told that, and he did it anyway. Again, I'm saying that's what worries me about him.
Is what? Because he knew what was coming and he still did it?
Why would you do something like that? Most people are, as you say, money is a great motivator.
Absolutely.
And it clearly
may not mean something to him, though.
I would think it does. I think we know that. So why would he do something willingly that would cost him potentially a lot of money? Again, I'm not saying that makes him a terrible person. I'm saying I'm worried about him. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you should be worried about me. I should be worried about you. We should be worried about Kyle in so many different ways.
I'm worried about him in a different way than I worry about you or me. Kyle, it's similar, actually.
I don't want to play because I'm not in the form of making excuses for Ja Morant. I'm just trying to get an understanding. There's a lot of people out here in this world who would defend what Ja Morant is doing. And some people are going to say the culture. Some people are going to say the product of his environment. Some people are going to say the dude is rich and has no worries. Some people are going to defend the fact that guns are, we should tote and carry guns. I guess I'm trying to get an understanding of you're worried about this man. Why? Because he lied or because he's toting guns? He could harm himself or I'm trying to get an understanding.
Because I see him as doing something that's irrational, that was self-destructive. And that makes me worry. Why would you do that? That's all.
It's interesting.
What he did. And I understand you could say, it's fine what you did. But maybe he thought that. I don't think he did, but maybe. And then he was told why he couldn't do it. And he said, yeah. And he did it again. It's like, why did he do that? What's going on? That's what concerns me.
Yeah,
it's motivation.
And that's why I said it may not be money. It may not be, maybe it's the look. Maybe he wants
maybe.
To. I don't know. And that's the tough part about the situation with Ja Morant. And look, we know that he allegedly went in there and said, okay, I probably shouldn't do that. That's probably tongue in cheek to Adam Silver, to a certain extent. But I'm pretty sure
he went on TV too, and he told all of us.
Yeah,
because that's what he was supposed to do.
True, very true. And that's the tough part of. That's why I said I don't know where Ja's coming from. It's interesting.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. And by the way, I'm with you. I am worried about it. I'm just trying to get an understanding of why. I'm any man for me, and it's just my personal belief. If you're toting and waving guns, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. But I'm also saying there's a lot of people in our country who don't think that's a big deal. And so that's why it's interesting to see he got 25 mm-hmm. games. I mean, he could say, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see it happen again.
I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't
sake,
either.
For all our sake, yeah. Coming up, why you can expect a flurry of trades on draft day and who you can expect the Kings to pick. That's coming up next. Cattles and Rami, Whitey and JJ in for them today. Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Good evening, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. It's time for our final U.S. Open update of the week, and all of our U.S. Open updates have been brought to you by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always, always about quality. So, for the last update, Ricky Fowler finds himself in first place at 10 under through 12 holes. Xander Schauffele is at 9 under through 11 holes, and he's tied with Wyndham Clark for second place at 9 under. Rory McIlroy is by himself at 8 under, finishing the day with a 67, and Harris English finds himself at 7 under in 5th place. Those are your headlines. Now it's time for the callback with Whitey Gleason and Jay Johnson.
I'm going to light up these phone lines.
The phone is ringing, and we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback
on Cattles and Rami.
Getting all ready for the NBA draft. Kristen Peek, Yahoo NBA draft analyst, joined us today. What was the one thing that really stood out to you, Jay, from our conversation with Kristen Peek?
Is that this draft is probably going to be the best draft for the next couple of years. A lot of talent.
Yeah.
A lot of top-end talent and a lot of mid to top-end talent.
Kristen explained to us why weak draft classes in 24 and 25 will mean lots of trade activity this year.
And sooner to see the high school prospects so they can see what's coming up and plan accordingly. So we saw a lot of teams try to position themselves favorably in this draft because of what is projected the next couple years. Now, granted, there will be players and there'll be great players, but in terms of the surefire, we're talking about generational type talent. We're talking about multiple all-stars in this draft class. People want to try to maximize that. And so that's what I'm saying when we're going to see multiple teams try to get in. And, you know, when you're the New York Knicks on the outside looking in, thinking that you were going to have a lottery pick before Dallas decided to tank, you know, this last 2 weeks of the season, I mean, they're probably going to try to get in, but they're going to have to buy their way in.
And things could happen right towards the top of the draft, Jay, as we know. The Spurs are going to take Wembanyama.
Allegedly.
Then, yeah. Wait, that's what you think. Then it's Charlotte, and then a lot of people think New Orleans may come a-calling to Charlotte or to Portland, 2 and 3, and may try to move up into the second or third spot.
Yeah.
Maybe Zion will be in play.
Ooh. Are you interested in Zion, man?
I wish him the best. I wouldn't want him on my team right now.
Because of the injuries? Or because of everything?
Mostly the injuries.
Oh, okay.
And he's just, I've never seen anybody like him. He's a force of nature, and I don't know that his body can support him going forward. I hope it can.
Got you.
You know?
He would.
The guy blew up his shoe. Jumping in the air.
I'll tell you one thing. He would sell out the Golden One.
I mean, we're talking about Zion here. Look,
yeah, I'm just saying. That's why I asked. Are you interested?
It's selling out already, isn't it?
It is.
With OG Anunoby. But
I'm telling them ticket.
Look, if you told me right now you could flip Domas for Zion, I'd have to at least consider it.
Ooh. Not me. But I'd
do that.
Yeah.
Not saying I'd do it, but I wouldn't immediately
say twice?
No. Exactly. We would consider it.
Here's what Kristen Peek has to say about it. Who should be the second pick, Brandon Miller or Scoot? I can't shoot. Henderson.
You know, I've talked to a couple people because both Scoot and Brandon were in Charlotte this past week. And by all accounts, Scoot had a better workout. And then Brandon was just in Portland for his workout. And I was told he shot the living hell out of the ball. So I don't know. I don't know if that's, again, you don't know what smokescreen. A lot of people are saying Brandon at 2. I'm still leaning more towards Scoot because I don't know how you pass up on him. In terms of he is the second best prospect in this class. Victor said it himself. He said, if I had never been born, Scoot would be the number one pick in this draft. So I don't think the Hornets need to overthink it. And I think they just take Scoot and then Brandon falls to Portland.
I don't know. I think Charlotte takes Miller too. And then if I'm Portland, I take Scoot third. Yep. And then I sit down with Dame and say, it's been a great ride, but this is the end of it. Where do you want to go?
That's tough to say that to Dame Dollar there, Roddy.
I know what you're saying, though.
I
don't want to do it, but yeah. I would almost
for the
have
greater
to.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah. I take Scoot too. I'm not passing on Scoot. I'm not passing on Brandon Miller, to be honest. But it'd be interesting to see because Dame has already said, "Look, I'm not in the."
Is JJ going to try to bring Dame to the Kings now? He's already brought Zion.
Nah, well, I didn't bring Zion. I just said, "Are you interested?" Dame would be. He's already came out and said that he is not going to sit through another rebuild. And he also came out, you know, at the end of the season and said that he does not want to see another youngster come in here. And he gave Shaedon Sharpe the love. He was like, look, Shaedon's a different type of guy. He came in. He had a different type of path, played, you know, a little bit in college. Well, he never played in college, but supposed to play in college and then went off to do something else. But he's like, I don't want to do that with nobody else.
Yeah. Well, the other side then would be, all right, Dame, we're with you. You'd have to trade the number 3 pick for a veteran.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
with Zion.
Zion or Ingram? I don't know, but that would be the other option.
Does Ingram float your boat for Scoop?
No.
I'd
take he was
Scoop.
A really good player, but I don't think the New Orleans coaches are really over the moon over Brandon Ingram.
What would it take for you, on the outside looking in, for you to give up Scoop? Like, you're Portland.
If I'm Portland, I'm Scoot's my guy, and I'm moving into the future, and I'm trading Dame.
That's your guy.
Yeah.
I don't even like him that much, but
for Portland, that's the move.
Okay, but realistically, I mean, you're not getting Devin Booker, but who's the level, who's the guy? Who's someone that you could pinpoint off the top of your head Jaylen Brown. Okay.
Yeah. Is he the worst guy that you'd be willing, or sorry, the best guy you'd be willing to part with at that point? Because I don't.
Who am I again?
No, Portland. Guy? Sorry, yeah, worst Portland. Guy. So he's the worst guy you would be willing to part with? Is Jaylen Brown get rid of number 3?
Well, I would. Yeah, probably the one as far as I can think of. Anyway.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Ha! I don't want him.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards. In a hypothetical?
Oh, I'm taking Anthony Edwards over many people. He's too good.
Yeah, I would work. Yeah.
The fact that you even had to think about that is super interesting.
I'm just trying to figure out where we're falling on this.
Jalen Brunson.
They're not going to trade. They're not going to move off him. No, him and Dame, no. No, I wouldn't do that, but I don't even think that's
Pascal Siakam.
Nope, not quite. He's Darius not as Garland? Good as everyone thinks he is. Darius Garland, no.
So,
no. But Jaylen Brown, I need somebody.
You don't like Scoop, but you sure are turning down some guys here. Why do you make it make sense for me, brother?
I want to move off Dame. I think that's my best move.
So you keep Scoop?
Yeah.
And then,
unless I'm going to get, like, say, Jaylen Brown. But Karl Anthony Towns? Yeah.
How about a realistic name that could be had? How about, like, a Paul George?
No, I don't like Paul George. No, Paul George and I'm just... I'm doubling down on a murky, overpaid future with those two. I don't want to do that. Kristen Peek, Yahoo NBA draft analyst, broke down for us the different tiers of players who are available this year in the draft.
I think there's a few different tiers in the lottery, right? So you've got Victor on an island of his own. Then you've got Scoot and Brandon are that second tier. The third tier would be Amenin Asar Thompson and Cam Whitmore. They're kind of in that 3 to 6 range if we're talking about best available prospects. 7 to 11 is pretty even. You know, players in there are Derek Lively. He's a big riser. You got Anthony Black, Grady Dick, Jairus Walker. So that's the second tier. And then after that, you're going to start seeing teams that will need to, quote unquote, draft and stash. Like, send them to the G League for a little bit. Help them get stronger. Help them adjust to the pace of the game. Like, Victor Wembanyama's teammate, Bilal Coulibaly, is one of the youngest players in this draft. And he played all the way up until yesterday and helped his stock tremendously. I mean, and what he was able to do in the playoffs. So, but he's definitely a guy that is going to need a year or year and a half, year two, before he can be productive as an NBA guard.
And finally, Kristen Peek shared with us her views of a guy we know the Kings have worked out, a guy that Jay is hoping that the Kings end up with. I know Chris Watkins is also a big fan of Imani Bates.
I think this has humbled him because, mind you, when he was 14, 15, 16, we were all calling him, we, media, were all calling him the next Kevin Durant. He's the next one up. And he fell off, you know, and that's not fair to the kid. And I think where the hesitation is look, he has great shooting instinct. He needs to fill out. I think, you know, he's 6'8", 6'9", but he doesn't have length in the wingspan. I mean, he only has like a 6'8", 6'9", wingspan. And defensively, I mean, he's just okay. So when teams are looking at value, I mean, for me, I still think you take a swing on Imani Bates. He's still, we have to remember, he reclassified up to play at Memphis with Jalen Duren, one of his best friends, and it didn't work out. So he's still only 19 years old. That's still, I mean, he's younger than Amenin Asar Thompson and Brandon Miller, who are projected, you know, top 5, 6, 7 picks.
Imani Bates is one of your guys, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking a flyer on him.
Not at 24, obviously.
No. Second round, I'm definitely taking a flyer on him. I like guys who've been through the struggle, who have something to prove, who hasn't had it handed to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, we all talked about Imani Bates. And then for whatever reason, you know, maybe he's just not that good, but it fell. And he's the last couple of years has been a struggle for this gentleman. I would like to see you if there's something still there.
He's got the skills, some of the skills, but
definitely.
It seems like he's just not big and strong enough to play NBA basketball right now.
Very true.
For some of that's because he's so young.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. I'm taking a flyer, though. Second round?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking a big swing for Imani Bates.
Second-round picks?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Up next, as a species, are we just becoming more and more stupid? That's coming up in other news. Cattles and Rami, why didn't JJ sack down sports?
Did you catch all the week's headlines?
Check the headlines.
Let the fellas fill you in on this week's In Other News.
I don't know if you watch Jeopardy at all, Jay. Kyle, you ever watch Jeopardy?
That'd be no for me,
sir. Never?
Oh, occasionally. I mean, you know, here and here. I've seen it, of course.
Yeah, well.
I'm not a daily watcher.
Something kind of alarming happened recently on Jeopardy. There was an episode, pardon me, during which all three contestants, you know, and these are, let's see, it was Colette Lee, whoever that is, Christine Rimbach, and the returning champion, Suresh Krishnan, all three contestants failed to buzz in. Okay, so like, here's the clue. Nobody buzzed in 23 different times. So it's like these people just said it. Oh,
look. Some of them questions are difficult there, Whitey.
Right? I know that. The producer said it's not something the producers enjoy seeing. Has to be a record. 23 triple stumpers, said producer Sarah Foss. Turns out, apparently, 24 was actually the record, as far as anybody can tell. But 23 times, nobody had an idea. There's a former champion named Buzzy Cohen, and Buzzy Cohen said, well, it was probably the contestants' moods. You know, it's the last game before lunch, so maybe everyone's a little hungry or sleepy. 5 Jeopardy episodes taped in one day, and that
That's
particular
a lot,
show.
Brother.
We'll just forget it ever happened. But one of the things, here's one of the clues, okay? So you're supposed to complete a line of the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Matthew 6:9 says, Our Father, which art in heaven, this be thy name.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Yep.
You know, yeah. Hallowed be thy name. None of them knew it. 0-for-3. Triple stumper. On that. On the Lord's Prayer.
Well, that's because
on Jeopardy.
They're studying fruits that start with F. You know? I mean, they're not worried about it. Uh-huh. I mean, it's like... You were American battles that happened from 1850 to 1851. That's it.
I don't know. That to me, that's alarming, and maybe it's a sign, further indication that all of us, certainly myself included, we're all just getting dumber and dumber every day.
True. It's difficult. Look, we had a conversation about our young generation.
It was a very one-sided conversation,
yes,
by the way.
Very much
you were
so.
Telling me what goes on there.
Well, yeah. Look, I have a 12-year-old daughter, man, and it's sometimes things get difficult. Mm-hmm. Conversations get difficult there, Whitey. Are you a Netflix guy there, Whitey? Do you stream Netflix?
Not since they really cracked down on sharing
on
the password.
On that password?
Yeah.
So you were getting your thieve on, huh?
Well,
Netflix.
I mean, if it's a family member, it's sharing. That's not really...
taking it from the daughter?
Exactly.
That's
right.
I mean, it fits the mold, no problem. Are you type of guy that like to... Nick, who sits in that seat every day,
yeah,
he doesn't go out to eat. He's not a big go out to eat
just
type of guy.
Last night for anniversary. That season's
a boy.
52.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
anniversary
you.
Marriage?
Yes.
My man. How many years on the docket?
Yes.
Let's see. If children tell me
I'm
going to
say older than me.
I'm say 38.
That is exactly right.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
38 years?
That is exactly right.
Come on, my man.
Yeah.
Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
Shots out to the Mrs. Gleason.
She deserves all the
absolutely.
Yeah,
oh, I know it. I mean, look, I've worked with you long enough to know it's all on her. No, I'm just playing. I'm playing there, brother.
No, but I didn't mean to, but you asked the question last night. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Season 52. Love it, brother. Good stuff. What'd you have?
Cedar plank salmon.
Have you ever cooked salmon on a cedar plank?
I haven't done it myself, no.
Wow.
I would like to know how.
You should try, brother.
Very good.
It is. I'm a huge griller. I love the grill.
Uh-huh.
Love
the
barbecue.
You told me that. You got your eye on the green egg.
I do, man. I just don't want to pay the money. I need that. I need the endorsement. Green egg, if you're listening, talk to me now.
That should be very doable.
But, okay. Netflix and go to the restaurant. I see you love it. Netflix is debuting their first pop-up restaurant there, Whitey.
What?
Happening in June 30th down in SoCal.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
Do I need to steal someone's password?
We'll see. We'll figure out if you got to knock 3 times to get through the door. It's happening at the Short Stories Hotel. The streaming service announced just this past week. The restaurant, Netflix Bites. It's called Netflix Bites.
Oh, okay.
You like that name?
I wouldn't call it that, but I understand where you're going.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll feature a special tasting menu curated by chefs featured in some of the most popular culinary shows, as well as custom cocktails by mixologists featured on the show Drink Masters. Have you ever watched Drink Masters?
I haven't seen it, no.
The wife has pulled it out a couple times. I've checked it out. There's definitely some interesting drinks, you know.
Okay.
That's part of the situation. Although the menu has yet to be revealed, Whitey, the streaming service says chefs Curtis Stone from Iron Chef, Quest for Iron Legend, Dominique Crenn of Chef's Table and Iron Chef, and Jacques Torres of Nailed It are among those who will curate the menu. It will not be the streaming service's first foray into a live experience, as last year they tried a pop-up series called a Bridgerton Ball. So, with that being said, according to the restaurant, you'll be able to jump in there daily 5 to 10 p.m. Huh. So, it's going to be a nighttime situation, right? It's going to go to have your nighttime cocktails. You're not going to get any breakfast. Don't come near to get a short stack.
Netflix,
yeah, it's
nights.
not going to happen. You're going to have to go there and get your cedar plank salmon.
All right. So, if I go there for breakfast, they're going to be buffering, right?
Well, this is the catch. On the weekends, you can get breakfast. 10 a.m. How about that? 10 a.m. to
buffeting,
2 p.m.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a brunch. You know, brunch is what's hot right now.
Yes.
Go get your drinks.
Yes.
Hit them up with the mimosas, all the different kinds, all that type
Especially
of stuff.
Especially if you're opening at 10 a.m.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Reservations will be accepted. So you need to get on the line, tell them Whitey Gleason wants to come down and get busy.
All right.
No doubt, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You're interested in that, brother? Are you a... Are you?
I'd give that a try.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
I mean, I'd have to glance at the menu. I mean, you ran down a few things there, but
yeah. The menu's yet to be, it's TBD.
Uh-huh.
Still to be announced, you know, at this point. It's a, sometimes when you go to restaurants that kind of got like the catchy name or, you know, kind of has a little gimmick to it or that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you because a lot of times you go in there and the meal's just not on point, brother. It's just. Mm-hmm. Like,
what's your go-to?
I'm paying for the name.
It probably varies on your mood or the time of the year, but what's your go-to? Hey, we're getting Japanese food. We're getting Italian food. We're getting barbecue. What's your go-to?
Probably, for me, it's probably Italian.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm kind of in Italian mode.
Uh-huh.
Slap some pasta on the table for me, throw a little chicken in there, hit me with some cheese, and I'm good to go. I'll try any kind of pasta.
All right.
Well, I like seafood, too, man. I'm a seafood guy.
I know you don't really observe it, but happy Father's Day to you.
No, I do.
Yeah, you should be
Same
honored.
To you, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations
thank you.
On the
thank you.
Come on, anniversary. Yeah. Shout out to
Mrs. Gleason.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I aspire to do what you've done,
thank
sir.
You.
That's
thank
big
you for
time,
being
man.
With us. Thank you, Kyle. Stick around, because guess what's coming up? Oakland, that's right.
A's?
Oakland A's baseball.
Oh, is John Fisher talking?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
It's ball game.
The A's talking against Phillies with their bats tonight, hopefully.
All
Oakland
right,
A's baseball next on Sacktown Sports. Have a great weekend.
Now hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a... But remember what I taught you. Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part. Play your part.
What a great day to celebrate a championship, but we're not done yet. We're some greedy, baby. We're some greedy. We're getting another one, and I'm out.